Thanks very much, Peter, and thank you to Cedar for sponsoring today's event, which is always timely for us to be considering the question of housing affordability. And the Victorian Government is very committed to providing increased opportunities for low-income Victorians. And indeed, I think all of us around the room here would acknowledge that we all deserve a decent home and a place to live. We are committed to working with all levels of government, local government and federal government and the non-government sector to address these issues. And we have a series of initiatives which I wanted to outline which we believe will make a difference going forward in terms of providing long-term affordable housing solutions for Victorians. But can I start today by, as is our custom here, acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we're having today's meeting, the Kulin Nation. And I wish to acknowledge any our elders past and present. Can I also acknowledge my parliamentary colleague, the Honourable Michelle Roberts, West Australian Minister for Housing and Works, and it's been a mighty effort by Michelle to be here. She got in last night at 3 a.m. I think she's had about, 5 minutes sleep, but here she is. And so it's fantastic that Michelle is here with us. And Philip Fagan-Schmidt, from General Manager of Affordable Housing for the South Australian Housing Trust, is also with us today. I'm very pleased, as your State Minister, to be engaged in this conversation with you. I am at a slight impediment today because I can hear my speech rattling around in my head because I'm completely deaf in one ear for some bizarre reason. And so if I don't hear your questions later, it's not that I'm ignoring you, it's just that I can't hear you. Not a good thing for a politician leading into parliamentary question time today. Or perhaps it is, I'm not sure. So, look, from our point of view, it is no secret to anyone here in Victoria that house prices have really been rocking around quite a lot. If you read the weekend's papers over the last few weeks, you're getting peaks and troughs in the house price market. But what is consistently the case is that the rental market has become tighter and tighter. We released over the last couple of days the rent report for the March quarter, and the Melbourne vacancy rate is at an historically low 1%. And in the last year, as I'm sure you all read, rents have risen in the order of 12 to 13%. And I'd have to say there are no signs that rents are going to go down. It is also the case, of course, in regional Victoria as well. I was recently down in Geelong. I see some of my colleagues from Geelong with me here today. These statistics are essentially replicated right throughout regional Victoria, Geelong, Bendigo, Ballarat, the Latrobe Valley. The situation is pretty much the same. And we know that many low-income households, both those who rent and those who have a mortgage, are doing it really tough. The idea of owning your own home is essentially out of the reach for many Victorian families, and particularly low-income families. And as prices go up, both the home ownership and the private rental market, there is the obvious flow-on effect, creating increasing pressure on our limited social and public housing resources. Housing affordability, I think, is now a key issue across local, state and national agendas. And days like today are vital in working together to get a collective view about how we go forward. Now, the Victorian Government believes that everybody should have the opportunity for decent, quality, affordable rental accommodation and, of course, home ownership. We believe it is a foundation stone of building positive and productive lives. So our key priorities include creating affordable social and private rental homes for all low-income Victorians, providing opportunities for households on low incomes with limited opportunities to enter the housing market, and of course addressing the issue of homelessness. Now, the agenda, I think, couldn't be brighter for us in many respects. I mean, that paints a pretty dark picture, but this is a unique opportunity for us because the stars really have lined up a bit. We now have the Rudd government, which for the first time in a very, very long time, has taken a keen interest in the question of housing affordability. I mean, in the first instance, they appointed a Commonwealth Minister for Housing, and you'll be hearing from Tanya, I think, later on today. Now, this is the first time in more than a decade. Indeed, the previous Housing Minister was my old boss, Brian Howe. So that goes back a very significant period of time. So it's not just symbolism of appointing a Commonwealth Minister for Housing. It is, in fact, the leadership which the Commonwealth Government can and should show in the question of housing, and more particularly housing affordability, that we do very much welcome the initiative of the Rudd Government. The second point to make is that I think it was music to the ears of all of us who had an interest in housing that one of the first things that the Prime Minister said when he became, when he was elected Prime Minister, he said to his caucus, go out and go to a homeless shelter. I mean, what an extraordinary thing to say. I think it was almost the first thing he said. But it was very symbolic, because what it said was that housing affordability, homelessness are key agenda items of the federal government. And in that respect, you've seen rolled out progressively, and both Michelle and I have seen the commitments already that the Commonwealth Government have made in relation to homelessness, a place to call home, and money flowing to the states to address some of those homeless initiatives. So this is a unique opportunity, and one that I think we need to seize. I think I just wanted to briefly outline some of the ways in which we are seeking to work both with the private sector, with local government, and with the Commonwealth Government to really provide a more comprehensive response, at least from a Victorian perspective, to the situation of housing affordability. As you know, the Commonwealth Government has particular responsibility in relation to capital grants for social housing, recurrent rental support payments, Commonwealth rent assistance, and, of course, the broader national macroeconomic climate. But whatever our responsibilities, it is important that we do work in a collaborative way together, and I think that is very much the tenor of all of the discussions that we have with the federal government right across all of the states. We do recognise this is a very, very unique opportunity for the states and the Commonwealth to make a real difference going forward. So to this end, we are working closely with the Commonwealth through the COAG process to develop a national affordable housing agreement to be implemented on the 1st of January next year. Now, for those of you, and Julian Disney's here with us today, and Julian's played a very pivotal role, both pre the election and, in fact, since then, in terms of assisting in the thinking about how a national affordable housing agreement might look going forward. And indeed, in Victoria, we will be doing quite a lot of intellectual work, as we have for the last few months, but drawing that together in the next couple of weeks, to really paint a picture of how we think a national affordable housing agreement might look. Now, for those of you who... this is the... What's the opposite of precursor? It's the other side of a CSHA. It's a new CSHA going forward. So a Commonwealth State Housing Agreement has served Victoria, really, and in fact Australia, for more than 50 years. So we're now looking for a new conversation with the Commonwealth about how we have financial arrangements going forward. So really, what are the issues that are in that mix? Commonwealth rent assistance ought to be in that mix. Tony Nicholson, as I'm sure many of you are aware, fantastic leader of the Brotherhood of St Lawrence, has done a really interesting paper in relation to SAP funding. The whole question of the way the relationship of the funding relationship between the states and the Commonwealth operates going forward, that's got to be part of that discussion. Where the private rental market fits in this, where innovation fits into this discussion, I think these are very interesting and exciting times for us. And as we lead up to the signing of a new national affordability housing agreement, events like this, I think, are incredibly timely, and your inputs through the day will certainly be taken up by our staff who will be here with you through the day in terms of us shaping the way we would like to see a national affordability housing agreement going forward. We see that local government is also a key player in this conversation. And from a Victorian point of view, it's not just about the planning process and streamlining the planning process. We've been very encouraging of local government being active players in the housing affordability area. So I've got a proposition out there with about half a dozen local governments where I've put the challenge to them to step past just talking about housing affordability but really providing very practical outcomes from it. So we've funded half a dozen local councils, both metropolitan and regional, to in fact take the next step, not just be advocates for affordability, but to actually put together parcels of land and rezone those parcels of land and bring them back to government as opportunities. Now, that might be land that's owned by the council itself, might be land that's held in partnership with Commonwealth and local or state government, or indeed it might simply be private sector land. But one of the great impediments to affordable outcomes is, in fact, getting land that is packaged up and ready to go. So we've got six of these pilot projects throughout Victoria, and I think it's probably the best investment that I'll make with local government in the housing affordability area, because these incentives, I think, going forward, if it is successful as what I think it will be, we'll be able to put into the marketplace affordable housing options already zoned, ready to go. Because all of you know, some of the most difficult issues are the rezoning and the planning processes. So we're very keen about that. In fact, one of my colleagues who's here today is telling me about a project at Manningham where they're putting together a very interesting affordable housing project funded by us, by the Victorian Government, which is going to have some fantastic outcomes in the Doncaster area. And, well, what a beautiful part of the world for us to have affordable housing. So they're the types of initiatives and the way we see the engagement with local government going forward. And as I said, it's probably the best investment, you know, relatively small amount of money, about $300,000-$400,000 we're spending on these six pilot projects. But we're going to get, I think, great outcomes for that. I want to briefly touch upon the private rental market, and as you all know, I indicated at the outset, it's very tough here in Victoria as we stand here today. I think 10 kilometres out from here, if you're a low-income person, there is nowhere for you. There is nowhere for you. Essentially rent auctions going on, all the stuff that you read about in the newspapers. So the intervention of the Rudd government with the National Rental Affordability Scheme, which I'm sure all of you are no doubt aware of, this is a scheme where over the next 5 years the federal government believe there is a capacity to put 50,000 units of private rental housing into the marketplace. So for a state like Victoria, that potentially means up to 12,000 units of private rental housing going into Victoria. That's a very significant intervention by the federal government. There will be a subsidy involved, 6,000 from the Commonwealth government, 2,000 from the state government, for a 10-year period. That subsidy only attaches to a new built house. That house must be put into the market at 20% below the rent level for that particular area where it is located. We think this is a really good intervention and certainly one that Victoria will be actively involved in. As you may know, applications for the first round of this initiative close on the 4th of September. And we very much look forward to seeing those applications flowing in. Our assistance to home buyers, I'm sure, is for those who are Victorians here, is very well known. Our stamp duty reductions on first homes, the first home owners grants, and indeed the first home owners grants plus, in terms of regional Victoria, have been very strongly taken up. And we think that these are important initiatives which indicate to those people who are seeking their first purchase that the government has and will retain a very active interest in providing support to first home buyers. The final couple of things I just wanted to touch upon were in relation to social and public housing. And from the point of view of Victoria, our position is very clear. We want a strong and robust public housing system. We've got about 75,000 public housing units in Victoria. We want to grow our public housing. We want to grow that, but we also want to grow our housing association area as well. So we want both of these dynamics operating in the Victorian situation. So to that end, in 2007, the government, the state government, the Brumby government, committed a record $500 million as a one-off investment, the biggest investment by a state government ever in public and social housing, to really give a boost, particularly to our housing associations, where we've invested $300 million and $200 million directly into public housing, a boost of about 800 public housing units. The reason why housing associations are important to us is that we transferred over a whole lot of stock which had been managed by housing associations but not owned by them just before the end of the last financial year. Something in the order of 500-odd houses were transferred at no cost to housing associations to boost their bottom line so that the housing associations can now borrow off those assets. So they've got an asset base. They've got a capital inflow from the government of $300 million, and we expect them to be developing innovative opportunities with potential yields of a further 25% on the government's investment. So we're very confident of the growth of housing associations. They are, to some extent, a bit modelled on the English system, that's massive. I mean, it's a massive system in the UK. But we've learned some of the lessons from the UK system, and we think going forward this is a very strong area for us. Just briefly on homelessness, as many of you are aware, although at the risk of setting off a discussion with my colleague Michelle, we do think that Victoria has the best homeless response of any state in Australia. I mean, we do believe that. We have the most SAP support services here in Victoria, and I think we do a very good job. We have an interesting proposal that we're developing at Elizabeth Street in Melbourne, the Common Ground proposal, which I think some of you may have read about in the newspaper. That is, in fact, we picked up part of this model from the United States, where, in fact, they were seeking to intervene with homeless people in a different way to what we normally have here in Victoria and, indeed, Australia more generally, in that the proposition that we learned from New York was to essentially say to a homeless person, we're going to provide you with a house. Well, you say that's a bit of a trite thing to say, but it's actually not, because what they were seeking to do was to say, not only will we provide you with a house, we will wrap around you the support services to maintain your tenancy. So in the New York experience, they have large apartment blocks which they've taken up, and they rent them out to exclusively low income and homeless people, some people who may have lived on the streets for 10, 15 years, give them the house, wrap the services around them on site so that people don't have to go out and reach out to the services, and what happens? People get better. People get better and people live more productive lives. We think that's a really important intervention, and from the point of view of the United States, they've understood the economics of this. We're still in a different argument, because that when they did their research, they had a bloke they called Million Dollar Eddie. It cost the state of New York $1 million to keep Eddie homeless, but it cost them about $17,000 a year to give Eddie a house in a supported common ground proposal. Now, it all makes sense, and you say, yep, that's all right, but we're still in a different conversation here in Victoria and indeed here in Australia, because whilst we understand, and one of the reasons for that, and Julian knows this better than anybody else, is they do excellent research and they do excellent longitudinal research in the US. So they say, if we put this intervention in here, we're actually going to save the state in its broadest sense whole bucket of money, because if you don't, that homeless person will be bouncing around in the emergency departments of hospitals, in psychiatric institutions, in jails, intersecting with the criminal justice system, and that's all a cost. That's all a cost to the state. Put this intervention in here, support that person, wrap around them the services, they will get better, and guess what? It'll save the state going forward. Still, we're in that conversation here in Victoria, but it's a conversation we are very determined to break. And the Common Ground proposal that we are putting together in Elizabeth Street in Melbourne, with the extraordinary support of the GrowCon Corporation, who are actually going to build this facility for the state for nothing, at cost, a philanthropic donation in the order of somewhere between $7 and $10 million. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be, I think, a very important shift in the way we think about homeless services going forward. So I'm finishing. I'm over. You can't help housing ministers. They never want to stop. There are tough times ahead for us, but I do think the climate is very opportune. The climate is opportune. We do have a unique opportunity with the Commonwealth Government. Michelle and I understand that. Julian understands that. Those of you who are activists in the housing area, we have to get a very good, strong and innovative national affordable housing agreement. That's a core to how you deliver public and social housing outcomes. It's a core of how we deliver for vulnerable people here in the state of Victoria. We're going to be working very hard, very focused on that. But we're very optimistic that the future for housing affordability, particularly for low-income people, is going to improve. Thanks for the opportunity to say a few words.